Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello to everybody. You're welcome again to the Game on Sunday podcast, the latest edition of and I'm joined by Moss Mulcahy and Martin Carney, as usual, to discuss, well, I was going to say all things GEA, but in actual fact, to Moss and Martin, in our pre-record chat, we've been talking about the Oscars and Cillian Murphy, and I'm sure, Tomás, you all have grins on your faces down there on Cork after the events of, well, recently.
Yeah, Michael, it's incredible. And, you know, I know you mentioned maybe 2 weeks ago that you often seen him around your part of the woods in Dublin. But look, let's be clear about it. He's a Cork man. People in Dublin are trying to get a bit of ownership. People around the country are trying to get a bit of ownership. He's the blood and bandage, Michael. He's a big Roy Keane fan. And even some of the, even the picture that I sent you yesterday with him, kind of an image of it, maybe he's in the August stand lifting the Oscar. There was some very smart comments coming back from a few other people around the country and saying it was the only... We've won more Oscars than we have all Ireland's in the last 10 years, which...
true.
you can only laugh. I'm thinking of the chin, but... Oh, that's some great excitement, sending on the pictures to people around the country and around the world and having a bit of crack. Yeah, it's fantastic. And
that's brilliant.
I don't think he's a strong GA man, Cillian Murphy, to be honest. I did meet him once. I had a pipe with him one night, and he was a good character, I must say. Yeah.
Lovely.
Did you say you had a fight with him or a pint with him?
No, I had a pint. I had a pint, but I'm...
Well, it sounded like a fight, though, Tomás. It sounded like a fight.
And we put her on. It was a pint.
Maybe Michael, you and I, being from the Western Seaboard, don't understand the Cork dialect. Maybe that's what it's down to.
Yeah, but you're all looking down this direction all this week, which is great.
Brilliant.
Well, it is fantastic. I think the whole country is proud of him. And in actual fact... You kind of have touched on it there, Martin. Last year, of course, the Banshees of Inisherin, or Inisherin, if you prefer, a lot of it was filmed out in Achill, of course, which was beautiful, beautiful territory.
That's right, down in Keane Bay, down in that direction, is absolutely gorgeous. But I think we said also in our pre-program piece that nowadays the movies go on, some of the Oscar-winning movies go on too long. I didn't see Oppenheimer, but I saw, was it Flower of the Harvest Moon or Harvest of the Flower Moon, whichever it is. Jeepers, it went on for 3.5 hours. Now, I adore Robert De Niro. Even, you know, all his way back to Taxi Driver and that. But Lord save us, when you're looking at your watch and wondering when's full time coming, you know that there's something wrong with the movie. It was fabulously acted. The girl, the lead girl in it, was actually tipped for the Oscar. But there was a big shock in that when an Irish produced film actually The Girl in an Irish produced film got the Oscar. But no, The Banshee of Inisherin, we were very proud of that too.
Martin, don't you have the life? You just kind of mentioned before we came on air here with this, right? You maybe if you get a wet day this week or afternoon, you'll travel along and you'll watch the Cillian Murphy film and stuff like that. Isn't it a great life? And the popcorn and a bit of a Diet Coke or something, yeah?
No, well, it is very much so. Now, I saw a Cillian Murphy movie before. I saw his first one. Was it Disco Pigs, I think it was called, going way back. But no, still water for me, Tomás. Still water.
And still popcorn. Water.
Still water and popcorn when I go to the movies. But I go this week, I think, all right, to Oppenheimer. My daughter saw it, and they were very impressed with it and very impressed with the story and all of that kind of thing. But the acting of Cillian Murphy also. So I don't think he'll be playing over 35s for Cork any day soon in the hurling. But nonetheless, we expect a lot more of him in the movies in years to come.
And I suppose, Lester, you could probably join him as well, yeah?
No, thanks very much. No, listen, it's great to celebrate these things. But oddly enough, we're actually here to talk GEA, so enough about Cillian Murphy for the moment.
Okay, all right. I thought I'd get it in the first, yeah.
No, 100%.
Typical Cork.
I know, we're all delighted to celebrate this, as I said a moment ago, like in the whole country, apart from Cork and all that. But anyway, there are different Oscars going to be handed out over the next couple of weeks in football in Ireland. And the question is who, I suppose, gets to the latter stages. Tomás, after last weekend, we have a kind of a clearer vision in terms of who's who. And I suppose the most disappointed county in hurling at the moment, maybe, or most frustrated perhaps, is Waterford. Because you look at the two divisions the two main divisions in hurling, and all the usual suspects, if you like, are there. And Waterford are struggling.
Michael, they are struggling, right? And they're struggling big time. And look, I listened to John Milan in commentary in RT Radio on Sunday as well. And like he was kind of disappointed in terms of there were stages in the game when they looked very promising, particularly the first half, got into a good lead, but conceded the whole game in the second half period. And like I thought Wexford were absolutely fantastic, great value for the win. And like the job that Keith Rossiter is doing down there, I mean, he must be given a lot of credit. And, you know, it's just early March in this league, but when you go in as a new manager, you want to put your stamp, you want to show a bit of authority, and you want to start exciting their supporters again, right? So, I mean, that was a massive win to go to Welsh Park and win 223 to 123. Great result. And it heaps a lot of pressure on Davey, right? And he's banking on this trump card, Michael, in terms of championship, you know, that it doesn't matter if we go down to out of the new format for the league next year and we go down and play the lower grade and stuff like that as well. It doesn't matter, is what he was kind of saying. It's all about championship and it's all about the first round against Cork towards the end of April. Putting a big, big gamble on that. And I know we mentioned over the last couple of weeks, he's a lot of guys coming back from injury, but you need to be getting a bit of success as well. And Martin, you know that as well. In any game, as you get closer, you need to be finding a bit of form. You need to be finding a bit of consistency. You need to be finding a bit of continuity. And you need to be getting the supporters behind it, right? There's a lot going on in Welsh Park in terms of the development of the stadium. And it looks absolutely fantastic. And like for Waterford, all reads now, all roads lead to the Cork match and in championship. And if there was a defeat there, there'd be serious question marks asked of Davey, you know. So that to me was a game that Waterford needed to win. And we mentioned about Cork the previous time not getting the results. Then they go and they beat Waterford and Páirc Uí Chaoimh and gives a little bit of pressure, takes a little bit of pressure off, and then they go to Offaly with a commanding win last weekend. So it has kind of eased the pressure on the Cork boys. Cork and Waterford were in the same boat. Wexford, Kilkenny, Clare, Galway, they're all flying, particularly, and Limerick as well.
Yeah, Cork that you mentioned there, they play Wexford the next day out, you know. So, and this is really, I suppose, Tomás, about a bit of shuffling. Like, who wants to be in the semi-finals, you know, as opposed to who's going to retain their status? Would that be fair to say?
It's a very fair argument to say, Michael. Like, and if you're Wexford now and your home advantage against Cork, to go and win that, I think for Wexford would be a massive, massive achievement, and to get to a league semi-final would be fantastic. And I think that would be brilliant for hurling itself in terms of Wexford coming up that to that level, right? It would be fantastic. And again, look, you look at kind of Clare's performance in Ennis, Michael, as well against Kilkenny, and I know it was only 3 points in the year 1916, and it could have went anyway, right? But still, the big thing here for me is how Brian Lowen has got a massive, massive performance out of this Clare team, even though they will say they're missing some of the key stars and star performers that were there over the last 2 or 3 years in John Conlon. He's unearthing Sarah's talent there and getting a massive, massive performance. And there's massive excitement in Clare at the moment.
I was listening to Davey Fitz's interview with, I think it was Pádraig Lodge from RTE after the match last Sunday. And Pádraig said to him, you know, after the defeat to Wexford, that he must be concerned with the championship around the corner. And Davey said to him, well, it's actually not around the corner. It's 5 weeks away. So there's that kind of balance, I suppose, lads, in terms of where you're at the moment in the league, because, you know, you don't want to be flying it too soon and you don't want to be too far behind the black ball at the same time.
Yeah, and look, the new format of the league and the new format of the championship, Michael, has kind of, I suppose, if you're a manager, you're looking at it and say, yeah, let's get a couple of good performances in the league. But the real goal is championship, because we've mentioned this, like the Munster championship and the games that you have to play. And then obviously the Leinster championship with Wexford coming up is going to be very, very tough as well. But you've got to, the timing is everything, right? And the timing has to be perfect, because you play on a given Sunday, you could be out again the following Saturday. So you have very little chance to recover. And within 2 or 3 weeks, your championship could be over. All the preparations gone in since pre-Christmas, back to last September, strength and conditioning, and within a couple of weeks, it could be all finished. And that's why I object to the compactness of the championship and stuff like that as well, because it's all coming so quick and you're gone before you know it, right? You know, but look, it is the way it is, and that's the way management will look at it now. And I think that's the way Davey is looking at it. But it's a big gamble. It's a big gamble. You need, and I think, and again with Cork and scoring 5.28 against Offaly, fantastic. I think there was 18 minutes down to that match. It was 4-2, two goals by Alan Connolly, kind of put a glass in it for Cork, and then they went on and they strolled away the second half. But like we saw last weekend, I think there was 8 changes again last weekend for Cork. There was 11 the week before. So they need to get continuity again in terms of their team starting 15, because they have one match left, Wexford. And then, as you mentioned about Davey, that there's a couple of weeks to championship. But what do you do, Michael? You're in training then at that stage, as you have more games, you have no opportunity to see guys than maybe seeing them behind closed doors in training itself. So I would prefer to see you guys performing, get continuity in terms of team performance right now, you know?
I'm sure, Tomás, Michael Deignan, former Offaly player, now Offaly chairman, must be very frustrated by the fact, because he went in with a clear ambition to improve Offaly in both hurling and football, and to create the environment in which they might improve. And yes, Offaly, at the moment, they look like they're not going very far. Their next game is against Clare, who are top of Division 1A, and they've only 1 point so far in the league. And that must be a frustration for Offaly people.
It has to be a massive, massive frustration there. And look, I know Jenny Kelly afterwards was saying, look, we got to dust ourselves off and move ahead and move on to the next game. And look, they're going to be playing in the Joe McDonagh Cup and stuff like that, right? You know, so, but you would, for Offaly to go to the next level, you would anticipate or would have felt that they need to get a couple of results in this league campaign as well. And they played reasonably well against Wexford, Michael. They played reasonably well against Kilkenny, and I was expecting a big performance for Offaly, with Cork going to Tullamore with so many, many changes, right? And I said, this is a great opportunity for Offaly to get a big scalp to take down Cork. But it was complete opposite, and they looked pretty poor at times in that second half period, and they were opened up so easily, right, in terms of, like, that scoring 5.28 to 16. it's a fair, fair hammering. And you don't want to be unfair to Offaly, but yeah, it has to be a concern because like I thought they were making real, real progress in the league campaign. And, you know, when you look at Italy in terms of rugby, remember there were times, right, Italy, the first one or two of a Six Nations Championship, they'd put you to the pin of a collar, and then whoever gets them maybe the third or fourth match, they bury them because they put too much into the starting couple of games. It seems like this would Offaly as well, so much emphasis in the first one or two matches, and like it was easy pickings for Cork the last day.
I just want to mention, sorry, Martin, go on.
No, I was just looking, the same thing in relation to Offaly in football. You just mentioned, Michael, you know, how Michael Dagenham went in with the avowed intention of improving both of them. And like right now in Division 3 of the National League, they're third from the bottom, but they've only won one game. Now, again, picking up on the Moss's point, they certainly made a huge effort early in the league to actually maybe get the better of Westmeath. And I think in the second game, I think it was against Antrim. Now, they lost to Westmeath, I think, by 4 points and to Antrim by just a point. And I feel certainly in the Antrim game, had they won that, they could have ended up, you know, challenging for promotion. But in the third game, then, once more, they just lost to Clare by a point. And even though the last day against Wicklow, they demolished them, what was it, 5-15 to 10 points, they're still third from the bottom. And if they were to lose this weekend to Sligo, they could end up actually kind of maybe in a relegation, you know, winner take all in the last game when I think is they play where they play Limerick. And to see them, you know, a team that we know whose history is kind of maybe just filled with honours going way back, to see them actually on the cusp of going down to Division 4, it's pretty damning and it's pretty sad, to be honest about it.
And just, Michael, on that, right, and I know, Martin, you made it reference, and we made reference to Michael Dagenham as chairman. I think he's done an incredible job there because where they were and where they've gone to, maybe they haven't moved as quick a pace. But I think the structure that they put in place, they put a massive, massive emphasis on the underage structure. They were competing for the last number of years at minor level. They've competed at an under-20 level as well. So that takes a bit of time. I think the structures behind, in terms of the sponsorship side of things, the commercial side of it, the players' welfare side of it, has gone to the new levels. Massive, massive levels. And I think that's a lot of credit there to Dagenham on that basis, right? Yeah, he, more than anybody else, would probably be disappointed with performance on the field of play in terms of where they're at with this league. But when you come up from where you are, yeah, and you're competing against the big boys, It's going to be difficult because nobody wants to lose matches, right? And but a bit of patience, I think, needed, certainly in Offaly. And I don't know, Martin, in terms of the football side, but particularly from the hurling, I think they're making very good progress, but it has not been transformed into the senior grade. But in time, hopefully that will happen because like Wexford, like we all need Offaly. We all need Offaly on board. And like when we had Offaly performing at the best, we had a better hurling championship. We need more teams playing at a very, very, very good level. And I would think if they were benefiting out of the National League campaign this year by blood and new guys playing them at a different level, even though they got a heavy defeat, that will improve them going down the road. I think that would be good for everybody.
Yeah, but it's the same in Leinster football, like in relation to, you know, the main opponents are the main threats to Dublin. We've always expected traditionally from Offaly, from Meath and from Kildare. Now, Meath, the three of them are going the best, I suppose, at the moment. But Offaly's demise has been very, very disappointing in many respects. And again, it's not Michael Dagenham's fault. I know when he came in as chairman, he invested, I think, heavily, as you say, in putting structures in place. I know he appointed John Mohan manager. And John, for a couple of seasons there, worked very, very hard with them. But I know from speaking to John, incidentally, who's over in Cheltenham at the moment as we speak, he had huge ambitions for them. But he felt at the time that in the footballing context, the talent basically at club level wasn't there to the extent that he would have liked, and that I think that the county would have benefited from. And that again is something that you have to build from the bottom up. You've got to get good schools football. Then you've got to get good underage structures, academies and all of that. And you hope then that that all translates into actually producing a good senior team. But maybe that the whole process is evolving at the moment. But certainly the seed Offaly right now in senior football, kind of struggling to stay in the third division, that's disappointing.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I want to ask you, Tomás, just about one other hurling match from the weekend and your thoughts about this. This was Galway and Dublin. Galway winning this to basically secure their status. But there was 11 yellow cards, 4 reds and a black card in that particular match. And it caused a certain amount of, let's say, debate afterwards. I've often seen more cards in a poker match than I saw in that particular match.
But there was criticism,
if you like, of the referee, well, from Henry Shefflin afterwards, or debate anyway. And what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I watched a bit of it on Sunday night, on the Sunday, and yeah, there was certainly kind of question marks over some of the cards and stuff like that. 11 yellow cards and 4 reds, Michael, that's incredible in a game of hurling. I look at, you know, Galway versus Dublin, 123-115. Galway kind of set down the marker for themselves earlier on, right, that they wanted to win this one, and they did. But it's 4 red cards in a game of hurling is an awful lot, right? It's an awful lot, Michael. And I would think, certainly, I think Sheffield is justified in some of his comments there. I think some of them were in red cards, to be honest with you. And look, yellow cards, 11 yellow cards. God, I mean, on the flip side of that, Michael, I went to Parky Queeve on Saturday night to watch Limerick v Tipperary, you know, and like you had a scoreline of 26-3, 16, and they was let go and let flow and stuff like that, right? And I really enjoyed the game, even though it was still a bit of shadow boxing and stuff like that as well, and high scoring, but freestyle hurling. And like there was a couple of hard challenges and a couple of shoulder challenges, but the referee was keen to let it flow and let it go, you know? And that's what hurling is about. It is a contact sport, and we start taking that away out of the game, we're in serious, serious trouble, because that's what, we, you know, and that's what we were born to play, in terms of actually take the hit, give a hit, and get on and move on and get up off the ground and move on with it as well, right, you know? And look, I seen kind of a couple of comments by Eddie Brennan saying the amount of players that are now diving in hurling is getting bigger and bigger to actually try and get a free off the opponent, or try and get a yellow card for the opponents and stuff like that as well. And like, I'd hate to see that coming into our game, to be honest with you. And if that's the case, yeah, the referee, if he's right in giving yellow cards, or he's right because that is happening more and more often, I think the referees are right on that basis. That has got to be stopped, to be honest with you. There is no place in our game of hurling for something like that.
Yeah, sure. Very add to that say, point, Martin, Michael.
As a Galway man, Martin, sorry to cut across you there, but just having watched that and having raised the issue there with Tomás, I have to say some of it in that Galway Dublin match. I mean, Conor Cooney got sent up. You can't put across a fella like across his
yeah. No, that's fair enough, Michael. I agree with you there. Yeah, you can't just do that, right? You just can't, and that is a red card. There is no doubt about that. It is a red card. And look, there was probably a bit of a rivalry between the manager of obviously Dublin. You know, I don't know, what Dublin fired up as well, right? You know, going down to his own patch as well. Shefflin, again, over the last couple of weeks, you were kind of saying at one stage, where a Galway ass, and he wanted performance as well, and he had his guys fired up as well. Being at home, we need a result now. We're getting to the stage, we mentioned at the start, you're getting to the stage with your 4 weeks to go to championship or 5 weeks to go to championship. We need to up the ante. We need to be more physical. We need to be more committed. We need to be actually driving performance now, and we need to get a team performance. And Galway are a good side, Michael. Get everybody back. Mm. They could be kind of dark horses when it comes down to championship this year. I think Ked Shefflin has them moving in a very, very good direction.
All right, and we'll move on. Just to correct myself there, it was Conor Whelan, of course, that I meant to say it there, that got the red card. But anyway, let's talk football.
Mike, just one little point. Again, I watched the Clare Kilkenny game on Saturday, and speaking of refereeing, I thought I think it was James Owens, a Wexford referee, but I thought he James frustrated Owens,
yeah. Yeah,
he frustrated me in the sense that on many occasions, certainly one occasion in the first half when Kilkenny had a clear advantage that was pulled back, I feel had that advantage been allowed, and basically they were in a very good goal-scoring position. But he seemed to frustrate. I think there was a good attendance there, a good atmosphere in Cusack Park, about 7,000 or 8,000 at it. But I just felt, as you said earlier, Tomás, there ought to be a greater, shall we say, emphasis on letting the game flow. That's just an observation from a non-hurling man, so to speak.
Question for the two of you, lads. Has there ever been a referee born that hasn't frustrated somebody?
No, I think that is true, Michael. And again, it's very much kind of, as you say, you have blinkers on, seeing your own side, your own side's, shall we say, point of view at all times. But no, it is true, and it's the most difficult game they are very difficult games to referee because of the lack of what you would call definition of a tackle, so to speak. But you know, when you think it's bad at county level, go down to club level, and I'll tell you what, do your nut in. But anyway, Shinsgale Ella.
Let's talk football, Martin, while we're at it. Coming to the closing stages, obviously, of the league, two more rounds to go. Some big games coming up over this bank holiday weekend. And it's hard to pick one, but just for the crack, let's pick one. Dublin travel to Galway.
Yes.
for a big match there, and I heard Pádraig Joyce saying recently Galway have a better record on the road in this league campaign than they do down in Salt Hill. Pádraig Joyce, the Galway manager, was saying recently, kind of tongue in cheek, he said, "You think what they'll do is they'll go up and stay overnight above in that loan and travel down for the match the next day because they might be better on the road that way."
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely tongue-in-cheek, and I think he knows rightly that this weekend they need a point at least. They need a point at least from their, from the last two games. I think they're playing, is it Kerry in the last game and Dublin this weekend. Like, they're on 5 points. The reality is, Michael, they're on 5 points. And they could end up, actually, even though they look mathematically safe, they look safe at the moment, but they could end up, depending how other games go, they could end up getting relegated if they don't win their last two games and certain results in other games go, in a particular direction. But the last day on the road, certainly against Monaghan, the 3-12 they got was impressive. And what I found interesting about the 3-12, the goals they got in particular, they all came as a consequence of very direct football. High ball going in, good opportunism in many respects by a number of the Galway players. But they were playing the game a lot more direct maybe than we had seen earlier. You know, their previous home game against Derry, I think it was, they went down badly against them. In fact, they conceded 3 goals in that game. But this weekend against Dublin, they would like to get a good performance, Michael. They're not long out from championship now. Again, building on the Monaghan win, they would like to get into, shall we say, just to continue with the winning habit, so to speak. And likewise, Dublin were very, very slow starters. You know, they went down to Mayo in the second game. In the opening game, I think, if I can recall, I think they lost to Monaghan, actually.
Another big game, of course, Martin, at the weekend is Mayo and Derry. Derry have been flying. It Mayo going well also. You know, so where do you see that game? That game's in Mayo, of course, down at Castlebar. How do you see that?
Well, St. Castlebar, again, you know, we talked about this last weekend, Michael, the whole thing of what do teams want out of it. But I think what teams want at the moment is they want to get into a kind of a winning rhythm. They want to get into a little bit of form. Like, championship is simply around the corner. But, you know, in Mayo's sense, from a Mayo point of view, if they were to win this, it would put them on 8 points. Their final game is way to Monaghan, and I would expect them to win that. And they could end up in the league final. And again, to mirror, shall we say, Tomás's point earlier, were Mayo to get to a league final again, it would mean that they would be playing for the next 4 consecutive weekends, because the championship game against New York in New York is on the first week of April, the weekend of April. So I still think that Mayo would like to build on the style of play they showed the last night against Roscommon, and the quality that they showed against Roscommon. I thought their skill levels were very high. And Kevin McStay won't want an inconsistency to creep in and, shall we say, a repeat of the second half performance they gave in the previous game again to Tyrone, when they were abject, actually. I saw it up in Healy Park. And in that particular match, so I see Mayo going all out to win this, and I would expect them to win this. But again, it's conditional on the team that Derry bring down. Are Derry going to play Conor Glasser? Is he going to, you know, will Mickey Hart play the Glen lads again, or will he experiment? I feel myself he needs to kind of do a little bit of more work on the forward line than has been the case. The forward line is very dependent on Shane McGuigan. There's very little support for him up there. And then unless he finds a couple of forwards this side of the championship, this side of the Donegal game, I think they're going to struggle in that game, even though it's in Celtic Park. So I see Derry coming down, you know, kind of to answer my own question a couple of moments ago, I've seen them coming down with a strong team, keen to maintain the winning habit. Winning that game actually brings them bring them into the National League final. But you know, Michael, if you were to have a scenario where Dublin beat Galway, where Mayo won their game, and if Kerry beat Roscommon, I know it's in Hyde Park, it would mean that going into the last round of the league, you would have 4 teams on 8 points. And it'd be fascinating then, like any one of those 4 could kind of end up in the league final. But no, just, you know, I do expect Mayo to win this game on the basis that they want to build on the form they showed the last day against Roscommon. But again, it's an issue that we have touched on. Injuries are becoming a problem for them. Owen McLaughlin's hamstring injury the last day, coupled to Dermot O'Connor's hamstring injury the previous game against Tyrone. All of those are starting to mount up now. And any injuries from now on, Michael, is going to kind of, in a sense, rule players out from the opening round, at least, of the championship.
Another game that I want to mention, Martin, is this is in Division 2 at the weekend on Saturday. Kildare and Donegal. On paper, it simply looks like Kildare's fate is just sealed.
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking to see it, Michael, because again, we're looking, I mentioned it with Offaly earlier in relation to finding credible opponents to Dublin in Leinster. Now, Kildare, okay, I think their home game is going to be in Carlo, and Donegal, I know the last day, my brothers were at the game in Ballyshannon between Donegal and Louth, and they said to me that Donegal were flattered to win that particular game by 5 points. They got a very, very lucky goal in the second half. So again, Jim McGuinness, you know, he's unbeaten so far. He will want to maintain that unbeaten record coming into championship. But Kildare's, I'm not sure how Glenn Ryan is seeing things at the moment. He must be frustrated beyond words. But
if they lose this, they're definitely relegated. Even if they win it, they're relegated. And, you know, people say, okay, they're in the Tarleton Cup then. They're not necessarily, Michael. Because in the Championship in Leinster, they're to play the winners of Wicklow and Westmeath, who are both third division teams. And were they to win that game, they would be playing the winners of a trio from Louth, Carlow and Wexford. So I'd say if they were to get relegated this weekend, Glenn Ryan would still be hoping to get his team to a Leinster final, which then, amazingly, leaves them, if they were to lose the Leinster final to Dublin, presumably they'll be there, that would leave them a second seed in the race for Sam. It's a reality for them, but I honestly, for them to find form and confidence at the moment next weekend in Carlow, it's a massive ask of them, and I would think Donegal will kind of win it narrowly.
Oh, I think they'll win it for sure. Yeah, there's no question. Another fascinating one, Martin, also in Division 2, Meath and Cork. There are these kind of games, Martin, where, you know, with a round or two left, kind of mid-table teams, you know, you can slide one way or the other, you know.
Yeah, well, I see Colm give the Meath fellas a night off last Sunday night, or the last weekend, I think, after they had beaten... They had drawn with Cavan, I think, and he gave the players a night out as a reward for maintaining their second division status. The game this weekend, like against Cork, again, it's mid division. Cork will want to still get 2 points. Cork will want to, like, I thought they showed great form the last day, even though it conceded 3 goals against Kildare. I thought they showed great form. I think Tomás would confirm or otherwise, they have been at a training camp in Portugal since, actually, or certainly for last week.
There were, Martin. Yeah, I think the hurlers went to Dingle and the footballers went to Portugal. Yeah, so
you're saying
the football then is the poor relation. All right.
You get the jab in no matter what. But no, on a serious note. Cork have more to play for this weekend. They want to make sure they get 2 points because Fermanagh, next weekend are playing Louth. And the winners of that game were Fermanagh to go above. Say if Cork were to lose, Fermanagh would go above Cork. And it will put Cork in a very precarious position, actually, I think, for their last game, because their last game is against Armagh. And I think Armagh are really throbbing at the moment. They look to me to be the form team in Division 2. And McGeaney certainly seems to be getting a tune out of them. So this is a big one for Cork. I know it's up in Meath. I know that the history between both teams, certainly in a generation come by, was a very, very, shall we say, tense one, and a very... it boiled over, but I don't see any of that right now. And Cork,
it is an important match for both of them, though, isn't it? It's an important match for Meath, and I think it's a huge match for Cork as well to keep a small bit of momentum going, right? You know, in terms of their last performance, getting the win, and just keep driving on and building the process there that they're trying to create there, because you know, everybody's on about Kerry and most of the championship campaign and stuff. But like, Cork need to be beating Meath, need to be getting big results now, take them into the championship.
I'm going to ask Tomás McKay a question at this stage. This is one of those questions, Tomás, where it's a little bit like a political one, where a reporter interviews a minister and then pulls the pin out of the grenade. Are you suggesting Dingle isn't a good place to go to?
If you were watching Teaching Car last night, I'll tell you something.
It was a beautiful documentary on it. It was nationwide. Well, I was watching nationwide.
Oh, it's a nationwide. And, yes.
And you wanted to jump on a bus and just go down straight away. You know, maybe tomorrow's doesn't, but anyway.
And you don't push your Irish. A couple of football and all of that. It gets you used to kind of, shall we say, accepting cups and all of that. You get the right kind of lingo to start your speeches.
Do you know, by the way, Martin, he's done the political thing. He didn't answer the question.
Is he hoping to go for local elections or something, Michael? And he's trying to learn on the hoof.
But the hurlers hardly went down looking for Fungi to see, was Fungi still alive or was he still around there?
No, and I wouldn't think so. But maybe they were looking to kind of find shillelies in a bog or something.
I think Fungi was kidnapped, but anyway. Listen, before you two guys get completely silly, it's good to talk to you. Looking forward to the matches at the weekend. A lot to look forward to, obviously. But you guys can giggle away there in the background. But I'll sign off on this. We hope to talk to everybody again in a week's time. But in the meantime, enjoy, well, the St. Paddy's weekend, obviously, and enjoy all the sport over the weekend.
And can I just say, Michael, as we leave, for yourself and Martin, just enjoy the movies and the popcorn over the next couple of days.
Oh, get it off.
Get out of here with the
great stuff. So what?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.